Welcome to the Hidden Potential Podcast. I'm your host, Omar Hargrove, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the heart and resolve that comes when navigating through tough times in leadership. In this episode, we're going to talk about how to rediscover the reasons in which you started ministry and leadership in the first place. We're going to unpack what it means to bounce back, and we're also going to learn how to build support through community and collaboration. Every single week, we come out with a new episode to be able to help you tap into your hidden potential. We do that by giving you mental and practical tools to be able to help you directly apply what we talked about today in your leadership and organization. Let's go ahead and get started with a big thought, and that is some of the most difficult moments in ministry and leadership is when you feel like you've hit that wall, or you feel like you're not seeing the results or the fruits of the hard work that you've been putting in. It may come in different forms, like it might be when you've been working at whatever it is for a long time, and you now feel like you're just beating your head against the wall and you're not seeing any kind of results. Or maybe you started out and you started seeing some growth, but now that you're seeing the growth and fruit of what you've been praying for and working for, but then all of a sudden, as if it was from one day to the next, it seems like everything just stops and it feels like all of the growth just disappeared. Whatever the details, going through those tough times can make a lot of great leaders want to quit. But if you manage to endure this drought, you will see a payoff. And the reason that this topic is so important to talk about is because these times of unexpected famine can ruin the great potential lying inside of your ministry or your organization. And even more so, it can completely wreck your identity as a person, as a leader. Not only can it make you want to quit, even though you are doing a good job, it can also make you feel like just depressed. It can make you fall into a deep depression. And there are too many incredibly sad stories of great leaders who struggle with dark thoughts as far as suicide, because of the weight that comes from these kinds of trials. And my heart in this episode is to encourage you in these difficult seasons, but even more so, it's to remind you that your value and your worth is not summed up by the current state of your ministry or your organization. Your potential, your purpose, and your life is so much greater than what you may be seeing in front of you right now. Don't give up. Let's get started with our first point, and that is the first thing you have to do is rediscover your why. Well, there are situations in which we feel like we almost like fall into leadership. I still to this day believe that I only became a youth pastor because I kept setting up chairs. I just kept showing up long enough to set up chairs, and eventually I outlasted like three different directors. And I think that they were deep down thinking, well, maybe we'll just try this guy out since he keeps showing up until we find someone more qualified. It can feel like that in leadership sometimes, but there's typically a reason of why that draws you into becoming a leader. And it's that why that inspired you, that reason that inspired you and made you feel passionate enough to step into a place of weighted responsibility. The minute that you become a leader is the minute that you take on this weight of responsibility. But when we go through these tough times or times of no results, that reason why seems distant, it seems foggy, and it can even feel like it's no longer practical. And when you lose your why, you lose your motivation to keep on going through this storm. And if you want to push through, you have to rediscover that reason why. You know, for me, now there's been many times where I've had to rediscover my why, and not just for the main thing I do, which is the church, our church, but there's all these other little paths I've taken where there's been plenty of times where almost like these individual reasons of why am I doing this would come to mind when I was facing those wall moments, those unfruitful seasons. And even for me in recent memory, as many of you know, I do a lot of work in recovery from addiction, from drugs and alcohol and mental trauma. And that space is it needs ministry so much. It could be such a beautiful place to see people's lives change. But given the territory as well, it does not give the same kind of fruitfulness per se that you would imagine from other types of ministry. You know, there'd be these amazing moments where, yes, someone would experience breakthrough, give their life to Christ, all the things that you'd want to see. But then there's a lot of other moments where you might invest in a lot into an individual or a group of people, and they just end up relapsing, or they never come to church, or they just ghost you. And there'd be moments like that to where I remember a specific time where I came to a point where I felt so discouraged. I felt really run down, and I felt like I had been seeing great results, and then all of a sudden it was like no results, as if I had done a horrible job and that I just didn't realize something I did wrong and now nothing's working. And it was in a moment like that to where I really had to dig deep down and struggle with the thoughts I was having of giving up this ministry that I felt like I was called to do, but felt too discouraged to keep going. And for me, I felt like God brought to memory the verse in which Jesus says, how much greater it is to love those who can't love you back. It's easy to love those who can love you, but how much greater it is to love those who cannot love you back. And for me, it was like that was what I needed to hear. I felt like it literally rejuvenated my soul, and it put that fire back in my heart. And it took that moment of rediscovering my why. It really rekindled something in me, but it also felt like a new fire altogether. And that's what it has to be for you. It has to do one or the other, if not both. Rekindle what was already there and start that new fire, that new passion that motivates you and drives your soul. Whatever it may be, you can't fake this part. You can't find this. You can't do a cheap version of it. You can't take somebody else's why, because it has to be real for you, or you will just feel the same way of discouragement in a couple months again. You're going to really need to pray about it. You're going to need to meditate about it. You're going to need to really put your focus and your heart and soul into what this is, because it has to become something that you think about throughout the day. It has to become something that keeps you up at night. And once you find that why again, you will know deep down in your heart. It will be clear. You won't have to question, is this my motivation? Is this it? You will know without a doubt. That is the first thing you have to do in order to find the drive of your soul again. Everything will be founded on this. Hey listeners, today I'm reaching out for your support to keep our journey of innovative Christian leadership alive. Every week we dive into territories of faith-based leadership because of the contributions made by people who believe in this mission. Whether you want to help us by becoming a monthly supporter or by submitting a one-time donation, you help fuel our discussions on authentic and practical leadership. Your generosity allows us to help other leaders just like yourself harness their creativity for the greater good of our communities and beyond. As a monthly supporter, you can submit questions and comments to be shared on the show each week, and you'll also get weekly shout outs on air for being a member. And if you become a super supporter, you will receive a monthly free product from our online store. To support us, please visit homerhargrove.com and look for the support section. It's quick, it's easy, and every bit of it helps us to make greater impact to Christian leadership. Thank you for being a part of our mission. Now, let's get back to today's episode. Now, the next thing that you have to do is you have to bounce back. You got to snap out of it. Once you have re-solidified the motivation to your soul in order to keep going, you need to get your mind and body back up to speed. You know, we're three parts person, right? Mind, soul, and body. You have to learn how to harness your inner strength and resilience to have more of a bounce back instead of a slow, limping return. This is really key here, because if you go about in this a discouraged attitude, you may have your soul right again, you might have that fire, but if you do not bounce back, if you make a slow return, you are gonna just go through the same cycle again. When it comes to your mind, you have to make a practice of shutting down those self-defeating thoughts, because it will slowly rediscourage your spirit. Whether it's learning to practice self-discipline, or making a morning habit of pronouncing self-affirmations, you have to learn how to control your thoughts. And it takes a discipline, because I think the biggest thing when it comes to self-defeating thoughts is your heart could be right, but your mind is still talking trash to you. And it takes energy and work to not let those thoughts slip down into your heart. And for me, when it comes to practicing that kind of discipline, I've said it before, is that discipline really bleeds over in all areas of your life. If you're disciplined in one area, it will bleed over to other areas of your life. And having a type of morning routine, I think, is pivotal in being able to help train your mind to follow this drive of your soul. And it will look different for everybody. But for me, in this season of my life, I've had all different kinds of seasons, but this current one that I'm in, I have this morning routine where I get up early before all my kids wake up. I make my coffee. That's like number one. I got to make coffee. If you think that coffee is bad, maybe you shouldn't drink it. But I start the day with that, and it helps me wake up and get into this zone of focusing. And I have morning devotion time. I make it a point not to open my phone other than getting like reference of my Bible readings that day. I don't open my email. I don't open any social media. I just have this moment to have input into my soul, to connect with God, to have this pure moment where my mind is focused. And in that time, I'll have that devotion time. And then after I have that spiritual part, I go into making a discipline in my mind. And lucky for me, my wife, she's so amazing. She got me for Christmas this cold plunge tank. And I got to tell you, it is incredibly increased my level of mental discipline. I've been able to get it down to like 39 degrees. And I've been doing this every morning. And it is like totally given me a powerful step in practicing mental discipline. And just doing that practice, I'll do that cold plunge, and then I'll directly go on a run and do this like really quick, not like a full workout routine, but just a simple practice. It's not as much as me doing it for like health reasons, but doing it to train my body and mind to do things that it doesn't want to do. Because when it comes to discouragement, your body and mind will almost want to be discouraged, and you have to train it to go against the grain. Whether it's doing something like that intense for you, or making a practice where the first thing you do when you get up is you have 10 self-affirmations over yourself to remind yourself of who you really are, and not casting down those negative thought cycles. Y'all feel what I'm saying? And once you've started the motion of your soul and your mind, next is for your actions to follow. And I find that many people somewhat throw up their hands from certain details or initiatives in their work or their organization, because you get tired of being disappointed. It's like you've settled it in your mind and your soul that you're going to keep at it, that you're going to get back in there, but you wouldn't know it from the type of performance you're giving in your work. You're in a sense become slacking in what you're doing, because you're not wanting to give too much because you're afraid of being disappointed again. And you have to really take that out of your subconscious and go to God with a full effort, mind, and heart. Because you don't excuse yourself. You can't excuse yourself by saying, well, I guess I'm going to just give it to God. And I'm going to just give it to God. I'm not going to do any more than what I've already done. I'm just going to give it to God and throw my hands up. That is a cop-out. And while, yes, we're relying on God, you still have to do your part. We're still on this earth. We're not in heaven yet. God has made us stewards. So don't let go of the wheel to the ship that God has entrusted you with. You grab back onto the wheel and go full back into your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, and your actions to really get back into the game and have a bounce back moment. Don't just go back to doing what you were already doing, but try to have an analysis of what more can you do, what details can you change to make what you're already doing even better, and have that bounce back. Remember, we're not limping back, we're bouncing back. And finally, the last thing you should do is to build supportive networks. Once you've put all these things back into motion, you should establish some safety nets as you learn to both collaborate and diversify your efforts. When you make yourself a lone wolf in ministry, every loss and every slow period feels personal. But when you connect yourself with other people, with other leaders like yourself, you're able to feed off of their encouragement. You're able to feed off of their ideas and even their resolve. And you also position yourself to be able to be creative in opportunities that could involve other groups to do things that you normally wouldn't be able to do on your own. And you're able to find these wins to celebrate outside of the areas you're hitting your walls with. You end up getting refreshed moments during these in-between times as you feel like you are still winning, even though you feel like you're still hitting that wall in the other area. Y'all dig what I'm saying? Like, again, as an example, I do not just do my church, but I do other ministries as well. Recovery is a big part. This podcast is a big part. I have these other things that I have diversified my efforts to where I'm not taking away what I do with the church, but I've become collaborative in my efforts to where maybe a Sunday service or maybe the church feels slower, I'm hitting a wall, but I'm still winning in this other area. I'm still winning at the recovery center. Or maybe that's real slow and I'm winning in another area. You know, it's like you're getting this sense of accomplishment, like you're making a difference from this diversified effect to where you're not taking away from the main thing, but you're doing other things as well that help, that are collaborative efforts. And saying all of this, you should really find someone that can act as a mentor to be able to help you, someone that you can confide in, someone that can pray with you, because when you need someone that can share their own stories of drought, to know that you're not the only one and that they can encourage you with their other side moments. And at the end of the day, you just shouldn't be alone on this. You should not be alone in ministry. So whether it's finding a mentor, whether it's being collaborative in these other initiatives, or just finding community, all that I'm saying within this is that you need supportive networks around you to encourage you to help you stand in during these difficult times. Now, let's end with three takeaways. Number one, define what your original why was when you started and ask yourself if it's the same now. Then establish what your current why motivation is, write it down, and hang it somewhere that you will consistently see. Number two, write down whatever self-defeating thoughts have been replaying in your head and label them as lies. Then write down what you believe or are hoping for to happen in comparison to them. You're writing down the lie, exposing it, and then you're writing down what the hope and the truth is. Number three, examine your current network and reach out to groups or people to meet with in order to have conversations about growth and collaboration. That being said, I hope that today was meaningful for your life. I hope that was edifying to your leadership. Could you do me a favor? Could you leave a rating and review for this podcast? It really helped me out and helped others be able to see this show in their feed. Until next time, have a great life.